cooperating with construction this year. Okay, so the notes that I got from Jim Gilmore's office are that Mid-America Steel, the city's discussing the acquisition of the parking lot, and that would remove 80 parking spots. And so there's going to be some short-term options, including Link, for that. But that'll happen late April or May, it says. And then the city...
So if they negotiate the sale, then, and this is just for the Mid-America Steel parking lot, not the...
Yeah, I think it's the one right across the street from the parking lot by Case Plaza there, that they're gonna be removing that, and so as part of the project.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So is that the Case parking lot also, or...
Part of it.
Part of it.
That's my understanding.
Yeah, so basically, the city is in negotiations with Mid-America Steel for two different things. One is the purchase of their property and to relocate them, and then also there's the acquisition as part of the diversion project and to build the flood wall, because the flood wall will take out some of the parking. So, so that's kind of, I think, cobbled up into all the same discussion. They're hoping to know that late April. I think they're close, and they're hoping to know that within the next week or two.
Yeah, I know that we had they had talked about putting a temporary Link FM bus stop sign up by Mid-America Steel. So, you know, until it's been relocated, are those parking spots going to be removed, and they're going to need access to other parking with their employees until they relocate?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was an option, was to put another bus stop sign up there for that group. Under City Hall, he's got the civic parking lot should continue to be available till early August. Temporary parking of 120 at the Howard Johnson property is expected to be ready the 1st of August. There should be sufficient parking for City Hall employees through the construction project, and visitor parking options are being explored. And then the Robert Street parking ramp will eliminate 100 city and 95 private parking spaces about June 1st. Interstate parking should provide information to those displaced about Lincoln and other park and ride options, and potentially dome parking as a park and ride option. The current Link route will probably work best, though, and trying to reroute could conflict with construction traffic and temporary street closing. So, you know, keeping to our existing route as much as possible, as it sounds like a good plan. That the parking ramp should be operational in February of 2017 with 450 spaces. And then Jim has block 9. This project would eliminate about 40 city and 55 U.S. Bank parking spaces, and would be in September or October, with temporary street closures on 3rd Avenue and 5th Street should be expected. And the ramp will be about 340 spaces. So that's the update on that. Anything you want to add to that, Nicole?
No, I think I'm probably reading the same notes here. So just
could you send me a copy of that email?
Sure.
And so do we know where the route alignment's going to go?
Well, if they're just closing First Avenue Bridge up to 3rd Street, it could be fairly minor, the detour at this point. You know, taking Center Avenue to 3rd Street and then over, we could still connect with that bus stop at the library for right now.
At some point, that intersection is going to close, though, isn't it, Nicole?
At some, yeah.
At not right away.
Right. Yeah, because we still need access to that south lot.
Right. Last year, we were expecting this closure last year, actually, so we had a plan in place to just go back and forth on NP.
When they close 2nd Street, is Center NP still going to be open for people crossing from Moorhead? Anybody know? Because it looks like they're closing 2nd Street at some point, right, from Main all the way to 1st.
I don't think that you will.
Wow. That means all traffic crossing over will have to go to Main.
Well, oh, no, no. No, when you're talking about when they close 2nd Street for the flood wall. At some point, they'll be doing that, but I'm not sure. Do you know if they're going to have 1st Avenue open before they close NB Avenue for the flood work that needs to be done there?
Well, that's where, I'll admit we're a little unprepared for this meeting in terms of Fargo. All this stuff is kind of changing.
It's still working,
kind of changing day by day. And so after this meeting, we are gonna have a kind of coordination meeting with Julie, and then what we need is Jeremy at the table, Jeremy Gordon, our traffic engineer, and so.
Yeah, I think if you eliminate two out of the three bridges, that's gonna be a huge bottleneck. You might as well add a half hour to your link route.
Well, then you have to deal with the railroad tracks, that's one of the tough things.
Yeah.
You know, we're always trying to stay.
Because I do know the two underpasses on Second are gonna be closed and for an interim.
But if that's before or after the flood work is the question, so to try to leave, they're gonna try to leave one of those bridges, but I don't know, you know, what Jeremy's plan is for sure. And like I said, it does change.
So initially, it'd be a fairly minor change. How does it impact the Yumpcum Center?
That's what I was gonna say. You know, that's a question for us, is whether or not we wanna serve the Yumpcum Center and make a U-turn there, because the bridge being closed allows for that U-turn, which is legal in Minnesota anyway. Or do we only go there for special events? Do we continue to serve that? Because it will take longer to get over there and back to Center instead of being able to take First Avenue. So we'll slow up the route a little bit. Probably not too much, but.
Can you make that U-turn, Matt?
I don't know. We'd have to try it. A 30-foot bus, the likelihood's pretty high that we can. But it would cause a lot of extra. It would cause extra time on the route, so I don't know how important it is, other than for events or on request.
I can run the ridership statistics by boarding site and see, you know, how many people we take there on a regular basis that aren't going to an event. So I can run that, but I don't know that it's a lot. I haven't seen a lot of people getting on there unless there's an event going on. They could walk over from One Riverside or Parkview to catch it. The Parkview can also walk across the bridge and get the mall parking.
Right, so then you're thinking maybe just when there, you know, there's events, then we certainly want to be there, right?
Right. Well, the major events, you know, and I did get a listing of the major events from the Yumpcum Center. In June, they have a Scandinavian festival, and then in September, there's a big event. And so there's four a year, and they're well planned in advance, so we know when they're going to be.
Well, one of the, I've voiced my concern about this before, Melissa, what does 500 parking stalls do for the mall? Mm-hmm. I mean, because what kind of started out as kind of a park and go kind of evolved into, no, it's really a connector, and now it's turned back into a park and go.
I think it's both, but you know, there's 500 spots that we're gonna have to make up, but that doesn't mean that they're all gonna be here, because there is capacity in other places that we're looking at. So Andy's not here, but maybe Nicole and Derek can talk about it.
Yeah, so I think we have some capacity at Island Park Ramp that we're gonna look into, and some capacity at our Main Avenue lot that we're gonna look into. And then with the Howard Johnson's coming down, we'll have capacity there. We still, you know, right now with what we have going on, I think it was about 170 capacity in our existing civic lot. I know that's gonna be reduced, but 170 and between that and the south lot that we built last year. So there's some capacity there as well. And then we're working with Andy, our interstate coordinator, our parking coordinator, to look for more and play with some things like parking timelines on the street, timing on the street, things like that, you know, to really build the capacity, build up the street, basically.
Yeah, potentially adding more diagonal parking, trying to get more spaces in on
the street. Is there room on the street for street parking?
I think there's maybe some. Some in some spots, and you know,
we started doing some audit, if you will, inventory. And that showed some available. I don't have those numbers right handy.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Melissa, I guess I'd like to get your opinion on how you see that as it affects the mall, because I think that's important. If it's a negative effect on the mall, that might be a concern. If it's positive, then that's great.
Yeah, I think, you know, with the summer, we're really light on our events, so I don't think that at this moment we have any concern with parking to support that. I mean, obviously, we'll have to watch it as we go, but I'm very light on events anyway right now. I just have a really big event I'm planning right now for Memorial Day weekend, but that's it, and that's usually pretty light for us anyway. So, like I said, events are pretty light, so I'm not concerned as we're sitting right now, but there again, I mean, we're pretty comfortable communicating and picking up the phone if I do see some concern, but.
And Mike, do you know what your timeframe on City Hall construction is?
Well, we're hoping to be bid in May, and construction can start in June.
And is that a 15-month project?
Is that a, no, it'll take 18 months, I think.
18?
Nicole, what about, I know that Joe had some preliminary ideas as far as moving, adjusting that route, so it's a little bit more into the core where we're gonna lose that parking in downtown, basically the 200 and 300 block of Broadway. Is that gonna be adjusted at all? Is there any consideration to adjust that? And also, is there any consideration as far as adding another bus?
Well, I defer to Julie and Lori as part of the routes and resources.
Yeah, we haven't, actually, we just got the my apologies for being late, the configuration from Nathan late Friday, so we will be getting together yet today to determine the detour. However, Nathan pointed out that 3rd Street and 1st is gonna close into the project fairly early. So our detour, we're going to move it directly to 4th Street. We're not gonna stop there so that we can get people used to that particular turn not being there. So as far as the detour goes, that's what we're planning. We haven't discussed going up into Broadway area yet. When Joe brought that up, we took a look at it. It was questionable on where we could turn around and actually get moving. And the last piece, as far as doing an additional bus on there, City of Fargo, we don't have any spares. Lori, have you sold those?
No, I still have one of them in service, just coming out of service here shortly.
Okay.
So we could put it into storage and hold it as a, I have 4 Orion buses that I'll be disposing of, and 3 of them have been stored out at the compost site until I dispose of them when it's still in service. So, you know, we could, if we know that that's gonna happen, set that aside and use that one still for this purpose. I mean, it's still, we still have Orion buses in the fleet, so we still have spare parts and things, even though that company no longer exists, so.
Yeah, and during the summer when the students aren't here, Fargo has more spares because NDSU's out of service, but that's 2.5 months worth. So I just, as far as capital goes, we're kind of tight, but we could make it work if we keep Lori's bus.
Once again, I just kind of reiterate, feeling a lot of anxieties, but as far as office workers and retailers for that, especially within that 200 and 300 block, that are concerned as far as, you know, contractor staging, construction, loss of parking. They want to make sure that they have all their parking available for customers, and I think many of them are willing, you know, look at taking the lanes and, you know, using that service.
And there is, I think, some, you know, if we were to add a second bus, it could be that it might not be exactly the same route. Is that true, or would you want to run that same route? I'm just thinking of somehow getting over to the south side because we've got some capacity there by Island Park Pool and that South Broadway lot on Main. Just something to think about.
Okay, I was gonna say that's the first I had.
No, it's just a thought.
But yeah. I think oftentimes when we do that, people get very confused. Which one do I get on? How do I get back? And wait, this is going the wrong way.
They can always catch it on Broadway.
Yeah, yeah. But we would well publicize that, but it's always challenging. I mean, do whatever we can to make sure everybody knows, but. So is the concern the businesses along Broadway? How far north?
You're 100, 200, 300, 400 block. So basically between 1st all the way up to the tracks.
Well, at least it's going to be summer, and you know,
yeah,
most of this, and so the walking, in the summers, not like it is in the winter, so they're fairly short distances.
We have bike share too, so it's $15 a month, but we had 145,000 rides last year in 204 days, so it's over 640 rides a day, 40 rides an hour, so it really can be used, and there is a station at the Y, so that kind of opens up that south side. People can go to park and ride. They can ride to the GTC and go wherever they want, or ride wherever they want to go downtown. It's just another factor that we didn't have before.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And that 4th Street, I know they just finished some construction. We're going to have to check with engineering. I thought there was another project coming up right behind it, so. Okay. Yeah, they're pretty busy downtown these days with construction. But
and just with the Block 6 and Robert Street projects, and you can't build a building that covers the whole footprint and not have staging and laydown area.
Mm-hmm.
And even the workers working on that project consume a lot of parking space.
Right. The Robertson Second Avenue project, the ramp will go first. So that's when's that due to be done there?
I think it was January.
And then when would the second phase with the ramp that would start sometime next fall?
Maybe? I believe so. That's what they're thinking. So they wouldn't take up the whole footprint initially on the Roberts ramp. It would just be the ramp itself and work on the ramp.
So then the idea is to have that ramp open and operating while the ramp's being built. And that's, so then we have 480 spots, and that gives us a lot of relief. So we're hoping for that to be done by November, December?
Yeah.
So that doubles the capacity of that space.
So once you guys meet this afternoon, will you send out an email with the route, so that way
Absolutely. The
committee is aware of that?
Yeah. We hope to have that for you, but we're still gathering information.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So,
I think when Stephanie did a poll, this was probably the only time that worked for the most amount of people.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Maybe we have another meeting here in a couple of weeks. But if we can get that route map out, once you guys have it established, then and everybody on the committee.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, Friday is the first we knew of the construction, or First Avenue Bridge closing on the 18th. They'll have it done. So we were anticipating having a couple more weeks beyond that. But either way, we'll get it done. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess that's those, and we've already kind of talked about the item number 2. We talked about that first, and then the route alignment kind of blends into those two. So,
are the primary just to make sure I understand some of the primary concerns. So, Mike, some of your primary concerns are the access to the employees for downtown on Broadway, and I think for Moorhead, some of the concerns are potentially event planning with either Cost or the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And are there any other concerns out there?
I guess I want to clarify that. What I'm hearing is that owners, managers, and employees are willing to use alternate means, be it the link. The concern is to have enough customer parking.
Okay.
So they want to make sure that they maintain any type of on-street or any type of facilities that we have left in that area for the customer.
Is what kind of outreach and such are you doing, like, for so the customers of the businesses would have any information?
Right now, I'm kind of waiting until everything's kind of finalized as far as for projects before we do any type of marketing and promotion. So we have a committee that's looking on that, but once we get everything finalized, then we'll start putting something together for promotional effort, and of course we'll do it in conjunction with at bus and also with this committee, and we'll keep you guys posted on that.
Yeah, it's certainly came up faster than we.
I think you know, the major concern that we're facing on the other side is, you know, construction staging, you know, and you know, there's been a few projects, one of them, you know, which is happening over on 10th Street and 3rd Avenue there, which, you know, that's away from the downtown, but we don't want VZ. It's kind of our best example because we think we need to do better than that. So we can kind of make everybody aware that we're still functional, we're still going to be a 24/7 downtown with these projects occurring.
I think with our Google Transit being released now, that the employees, it would be good to encourage them to look to see about taking MedBus from home rather than trying to find a parking place and then jump on one of our other routes, and being able to see how long that trip would be, and if it's possible through the Google Maps Transit link. It's pretty slick now how it tells you what buses to take, how long it'll take, how far you have to walk to get to a bus stop and all that. So, you know, if you're doing any outreach to the
I don't want one thing, and this is probably, I know, we'll talk with you about, Julie, but we think we need to reemphasize that, you know, if we have employers that want to purchase, you know, discounted or just purchase bus fares for employees, you know, how we can work with them and get them educated on that, because I think we're getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the park and ride, you know, like we did with Sanford MeritCare before that, are there still some of those employees that are using that or not? Mm-hmm. I mean, we had 100 and some using that at one point.
We did. Actually, we're still pretty close to 100 that are using it.
So where are they, you know, where are they jumping off? Where are they getting on the bus?
Most of them are, their destination is the Broadway, the 800 Broadway.
Coming from home. Broadway.
Yeah, coming from home.
Oh, so they're not park and riding like from the NDSU or Hornbachers or any of those places? Is that something we can maybe try to emphasize? That, because even if, you know, a lot of times you just need to drive a mile to get to a good, robust route.
Yeah, we can certainly take a shot at that. I'm thinking what's nice with that is that they're already used to taking it from home.
Perhaps
they could assist with some of their fellow workers. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Tim Vangaroo the other day, and their concern is that they actually have some parking available, but people choose not to use it. They want to be in that outlying lot along 7th Avenue there. Mm-hmm. But he said they have, I don't know, 200 some odd spots.
Wow.
Gets utilized by less than 30 people. And they provide a shuttle directly to the downtown, and it's just not being used. So,
Sounds like an opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, that would fit nicely into how desperately we need that.
So but what kind of rate do we give Sanford?
$22 a month.
Right, so would we be willing to extend that to any business that wanted to do like a green pass type of thing, you know?
I would certainly think if finance committee would approve it, that, yeah, we could certainly do that.
Well, we want to kind of use this as an opportunity to get to do it all the time. I think it is an opportunity when we think of it that way.
Well, it is, because when we first started that pilot program, there were less than 20 people. And we've grown it to over 100, and it hovers right around 100. So obviously, something's working.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there was a lot of boots on the ground to start with, but once people got educated, they really don't mind it. We have a lot of
regular riders.
Yeah, a lot of regular riders.
So is Sanford, you think Sanford would be open to, you know, I'm just thinking in terms of Mike's comment that, you know, a lot of the downtown businesses would have their employees and, you know, park off-site. Maybe that's the second bus. Maybe kind of tags off what you said, Mike, maybe have a separate route, and maybe it's a
kind of a feeder.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, that's an easy connection because they jump right on 7th, go straight down, and drop everybody off.
Yeah.
I can talk to them to
and
see
then
if they don't
have tracks in the way.
Yeah, no, they're on the right side of the tracks. Right. Yeah.
Well, but if it's they've got 200 spots, or even if they are able to let the city of Fargo use 100 of them, you know? I think it helps the whole equation.
Oh, absolutely. And if they already have a shuttle running that's mostly empty, then I'm sure they'd be gaining a lot of sun there as well. But I'll double, I want to make sure that I don't speak for Tim, so. So I will find out.
Okay, anything else? Very efficient meeting. So maybe we should look at meeting in a couple of, couple of weeks and we'll know the route realignment and maybe have some feedback on some other parking alternatives for the city of Fargo. So I'll have Stephanie maybe send out another poll on best time to meet in a couple of weeks. Does that work for everybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, record time here.
Bye. Greg attended, yeah.
We have round 8, 7 and a half.
Do I need to push the button?
I don't know. No.
Just an email.